Section 1. Listening. This section of the test has three parts. You will hear three recordings which you will listen to twice. While listening, answer the questions in the appropriate part of the test. Follow the instructions. When answering questions in the first and second part, use the answer sheet labelled with a cross. When answering questions in the third part, use the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Now prepare the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Part 1. You will hear an interview with George Lucas, a famous filmmaker. For the following statements 1 to 7, choose the correct answer A, B, C or D. There is always only one correct answer. Mark your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part 1.
You will hear an interview with George Lucas, a famous filmmaker. From what I've read about you, it's obvious you're very interested in history. What exactly sparked your interest?
I've always been interested in where we come from, who we are, and what's happened. Obviously, history has some great stories.
Most children live in a world of vivid fantasy, which they seem to lose when they grow up. What or who allowed you to preserve your imagination?
Well, that I don't know. I think imagination is something you're born with. I think it's more of a biological thing than anything else. You either have it or you don't. Children obviously go through a lot of intense reordering of their brains as they go through puberty. And I think in a lot of cases they actually lose a lot of their ability to have a fantasy life, or it matures. But I think there's an actual biological reason for the whole thing.
Someone once said that whatever happens in the first 18 years of your life, that's what you'll be writing about for the rest of it. Would you agree with that?
Your childhood has a huge impact on your life and what you think about, and what you care about, and your psychological outlook, and your motivations. So I would say probably that it's more your psychological outlook than anything else.
Who do you think should be the real role models for teens today?
The problem today with the media is that they don't spend much time building up heroes. They spend most of their time tearing down heroes, so there are not many people left anyone can look up to and say, "This is who I aspire to be."
What were you like as a teenager? And do you feel that the adolescent experience your children are going through now has changed a lot since your time?
Well, I was probably a very difficult teenager. I didn't realize it until I became an adult. So far, my kids are easygoing. They are demanding, and they're definitely teenagers. One of them just finished being a teenager, and one is about to start. Girls have their own difficulties and emotional challenges, but boys are generally more apt to get into trouble because they're more adventurous. I guess one way to put it is they're more willing to take stupid risks. I think girls and women don't do things like that. They're just kind of emotional.
What do you think are some of the greatest challenges facing teens today, and what can they do to overcome them?
Well, I think the hardest challenge you'll face is to figure out what you want to do with your life. And it's interesting, because society has not built an adequate system to deal with that. We have let people float and land and stick to something. I think the one thing young people can do is travel as much as possible, have as many experiences as they can, and associate with many professionals in various fields.
What have you learned from your kids that you think has made you a better person?
Well, I think children teach the most important thing of all, compassion. Compassion really is the secret to happiness and the secret to a good life, and it's a hard thing to learn. It's hard to learn not to think about yourself and to think about somebody else, but when you have a little baby, it becomes pretty easy, if you're open to it. Any parent who is reasonably normal and open to these sorts of things really does learn compassion and caring about another person through having kids and putting them first.
What advice can you give a young person who wants to be a filmmaker or a writer?
Well, I would say you have to be persistent, first of all, because it's a very hard thing to get into. And it's very hard to make it because the odds are against you. But if you're obsessed with film and you love to tell stories and you love working in that medium, then that will give you the strength to be persistent and make it happen.
Now listen again.
You will hear an interview with George Lucas, a famous filmmaker. From what I've read about you, it's obvious you're very interested in history. What exactly sparked your interest?
I've always been interested in where we come from, who we are, and what's happened. Obviously, history has some great stories.
Most children live in a world of vivid fantasy, which they seem to lose when they grow up. What or who allowed you to preserve your imagination?
Well, that I don't know. I think imagination is something you're born with. I think it's more of a biological thing than anything else. You either have it or you don't. Children obviously go through a lot of intense reordering of their brains as they go through puberty. And I think in a lot of cases they actually lose a lot of their ability to have a fantasy life, or it matures. But I think there's an actual biological reason for the whole thing.
Someone once said that whatever happens in the first 18 years of your life, that's what we'll be writing about for the rest of it. Would you agree with that?
Your childhood has a huge impact on your life and what you think about, and what you care about, and your psychological outlook, and your motivations. So I would say probably that it's more your psychological outlook than anything else.
Who do you think should be the real role models for teens today?
The problem today with the media is that they don't spend much time building up heroes. They spend most of their time tearing down heroes, so there are not many people left anyone can look up to and say, "This is who I aspire to be."
What were you like as a teenager? And do you feel that the adolescent experience your children are going through now has changed a lot since your time?
Well, I was probably a very difficult teenager. I didn't realize it until I became an adult. So far, my kids are easygoing. They are demanding, and they're definitely teenagers. One of them just finished being a teenager, and one is about to start. Girls have their own difficulties and emotional challenges, but boys are generally more apt to get into trouble because they're more adventurous. I guess one way to put it is they're more willing to take stupid risks. I think girls and women don't do things like that. They're just kind of emotional.
What do you think are some of the greatest challenges facing teens today, and what can they do to overcome them?
Well, I think the hardest challenge you'll face is to figure out what you want to do with your life. And it's interesting, because society has not built an adequate system to deal with that. We have let people float and land and stick to something. I think the one thing young people can do is travel as much as possible, have as many experiences as they can, and associate with many professionals in various fields.
What have you learned from your kids that you think has made you a better person?
Well, I think children teach the most important thing of all, compassion. Compassion really is the secret to happiness and the secret to a good life, and it's a hard thing to learn. It's hard to learn not to think about yourself and to think about somebody else, but when you have a little baby, it becomes pretty easy, if you're open to it. Any parent who is reasonably normal and open to these sorts of things really does learn compassion and caring about another person through having kids and putting them first.
What advice can you give a young person who wants to be a filmmaker or a writer?
Well, I would say you have to be persistent, first of all, because it's a very hard thing to get into. And it's very hard to make it because the odds are against you. But if you're obsessed with film and you love to tell stories and you love working in that medium, then that will give you the strength to be persistent and make it happen.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. Part 2. You will hear an interview with Talon, a scuba diving instructor. For questions 8 to 13, decide whether the statements are true, A, false, B, or whether the information was not given, C. Mark your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part two.
Do you want to travel the world as a scuba diving instructor? Look no further. This week, our reporter James asked Talon a couple of interesting questions.
Who are you, and why are you traveling the world as a scuba diving instructor?
I had traveled a lot before I adopted a son, and did some more afterwards. I wanted to raise my child in different countries and to get more living into my life. After looking at things, I decided I could work online and we could lead a life as indefinite nomads. We started our journey with only $900 in the bank. I figured I could maybe teach English and do some online language instruction to supplement our income as well. In preparation for our journey, I became scuba certified and realized that being a scuba instructor could also help us fund our travels.
Why did you become a scuba diving instructor? And where have you traveled and worked as a scuba instructor?
I had wanted to do scuba since I was a little kid. I finally got certified as an open water diver right before we left for our nomadic lifestyle. I loved it so much I knew I wanted to be an instructor. So when we were in Mexico, I worked out a good discount to get my advanced open water and rescue diver certifications. After checking out locations, we decided to head to Utila, Honduras, where the dive master and scuba diving instructor programs were much more financially reasonable.
How did you become a scuba diving instructor, and what are the requirements?
To become a scuba instructor, you have to be certified as an open water diver. Advanced open water diver, rescue diver, dive master, emergency first response instructor, and successfully complete the instructor development course, which is usually a minimum of a 10-day course.
How much money do scuba diving instructors make?
Scuba instructors typically don't make a lot of money, but it depends on the situation. Working at resorts is better, especially since you can earn a lot in tips, and often they also provide lodging for staff. There are some travelers that work in high-end dive operations for a few months during the high season and are able to save up enough money to be able to travel without working for the rest of the year.
What's the social life balance for a scuba diving instructor?
The typical dive center lifestyle for instructors seems to involve a lot of partying. Since I'm a single parent, I didn't really participate in that side of the typical diving instructor lifestyle. The work hours can be long. An 8-hour day is practically unheard of during the busy season. An instructor will usually teach more than one group at a time, so you dive with one group in the morning, come back, take a brief break for a meal, get with students to go over knowledge reviews or tests, and then you go out with your second group. Some dive centers also require you to spend some time working in the office on top of your instructor responsibilities, or you may be asked to lead a group of certified divers.
Now listen again.
Do you want to travel the world as a scuba diving instructor? Look no further. This week, our reporter James asked Talon a couple of interesting questions.
Who are you, and why are you traveling the world as a scuba diving instructor?
I had traveled a lot before I adopted a son and did some more afterwards. I wanted to raise my child in different countries and to get more living into my life. After looking at things, I decided I could work online and we could lead a life as indefinite nomads. We started our journey with only $900 in the bank. I figured I could maybe teach English and do some online language instruction to supplement our income as well. In preparation for our journey, I became scuba certified and realized that being a scuba instructor could also help us fund our travels.
Why did you become a scuba diving instructor? And where have you traveled and worked as a scuba instructor?
I had wanted to do scuba since I was a little kid. I finally got certified as an open water diver right before we left for our nomadic lifestyle. I loved it so much I knew I wanted to be an instructor. So when we were in Mexico, I worked out a good discount to get my advanced open water and rescue diver certifications. After checking out locations, we decided to head to Utila, Honduras, where the dive master and scuba diving instructor programs were much more financially reasonable.
How did you become a scuba diving instructor, and what are the requirements?
To become a scuba instructor, you have to be certified as an open water diver. Advanced open water diver, rescue diver, dive master, emergency first response instructor, and successfully complete the instructor development course, which is usually a minimum of a 10-day course.
How much money do scuba diving instructors make?
Scuba instructors typically don't make a lot of money, but it depends on the situation. Working at resorts is better, especially since you can earn a lot in tips, and often they also provide lodging for staff. There are some travelers that work in high-end dive operations for a few months during the high season and are able to save up enough money to be able to travel without working for the rest of the year.
What's the social life balance for a scuba diving instructor?
The typical dive center lifestyle for instructors seems to involve a lot of partying. Since I'm a single parent, I didn't really participate in that side of the typical diving instructor lifestyle. The work hours can be long. An 8-hour day is practically unheard of during the busy season. An instructor will usually teach more than one group at a time, so you dive with one group in the morning, come back, take a brief break for a meal, get with students to go over knowledge reviews or tests, and then you go out with your second group. Some dive centers also require you to spend some time working in the office on top of your instructor responsibilities, or you may be asked to lead a group of certified divers.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. Now look at part 3. For part 3, you will need the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Please find and prepare it. Part 3. You will hear a radio programme in which a writer focusing on the productivity of successful people names 6 things successful people do differently. You will listen to 6 helpful tips how people become successful. Below, you can read summaries of this information, numbered 14 to 20, which are in the wrong order. Indicate the order in which you hear the information by writing a number 1 to 6 next to the number that represents that information. Be careful, there is one extra summary. Put X next to the number that represents extra information. Write your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part three.
You are going to listen to a radio program in which a writer focusing on the productivity of successful people names six things they do differently. He analyzes real people who have become successful.
Number one, Albert Einstein is the most famous scientist of all time. During the early part of his career, his peers refused to hire him, and he struggled to find meaningful employment as a scientist or researcher. So Einstein took a job working in a patent office in Bern, Switzerland, and he conducted scientific research in his spare time after he'd finished working for the day. He spent his later years working on scientific projects that his peers had little interest in and continued to question prevailing wisdom. Number two, even if you have a passion or are committed to your career, it's important to pursue outside interests and cultivate your hobbies. Presidents of the United States probably don't have much time for outside interests, but Barack Obama still makes time for regular basketball games, while Bill Clinton and George Bush liked to jog and play golf. If they can manage some time to unwind, so can the rest of us. Number three, the inventor and founding father Benjamin Franklin made a daily habit of holding himself accountable. Every night before he went to bed, he asked himself, "What good have I done today?" He also examined how he had spent his day, read and looked over his business and accounts. Holding ourselves accountable is important because it helps us work on the right things at the right time. You can learn from Franklin's life by getting into the habit of reviewing your day in a journal or by meditating. Number four, successful people always ask what they need to do next to move a project forward. David Allen, author of Getting Things Done, is the best example of this. He's made a career out of getting people to consider what their next action is. You can do the same by working towards your goals through small, step-by-step actions. Number five, the marketer and author, Ryan Halliday, has written two books, including the recently published The Obstacle is the Way. To help with his writing and research, Halliday keeps information for his upcoming projects in a personal, commonplace book. Halliday realizes how important it is to have a personal library or a resource of information to draw upon, especially when writing a book. Halliday recommends a pen and paper system for his commonplace book. Number six, J.K. Rowling could have called it quits after the Harry Potter series. She was already worth more money than the Queen of England, and her legacy as an author was secure. Instead, Rowling changed her name and published the crime book, Cuckoo's Calling, under the pen name Robert Galbraith. The media quickly discovered her secret, but her experience shows that really successful people push themselves towards new kinds of success. They are never complacent or self-satisfied.
Now listen again.
You are going to listen to a radio program in which a writer focusing on the productivity of successful people names six things they do differently. He analyzes real people who have become successful.
Number one, Albert Einstein is the most famous scientist of all time. During the early part of his career, his peers refused to hire him, and he struggled to find meaningful employment as a scientist or researcher. So Einstein took a job working in a patent office in Bern, Switzerland, and he conducted scientific research in his spare time after he'd finished working for the day. He spent his later years working on scientific projects that his peers had little interest in and continued to question prevailing wisdom. Number two, even if you have a passion or are committed to your career, it's important to pursue outside interests and cultivate your hobbies. Presidents of the United States probably don't have much time for outside interests, but Barack Obama still makes time for regular basketball games, while Bill Clinton and George Bush liked to jog and play golf. If they can manage some time to unwind, so can the rest of us. Number three, the inventor and founding father Benjamin Franklin made a daily habit of holding himself accountable. Every night before he went to bed, he asked himself, "What good have I done today?" He also examined how he had spent his day, read and looked over his business and accounts. Holding ourselves accountable is important because it helps us work on the right things at the right time. You can learn from Franklin's life by getting into the habit of reviewing your day in a journal or by meditating. Number 4. Successful people always ask what they need to do next to move a project forward. David Allen, author of Getting Things Done, is the best example of this. He's made a career out of getting people to consider what their next action is. You can do the same by working towards your goals through small, step-by-step actions. Number 5. The marketer and author, Ryan Halliday, has written 2 books, including the recently published The Obstacle is the Way. To help with his writing and research, Halliday keeps information for his upcoming projects in a personal, commonplace book. Halliday realizes how important it is to have a personal library or a resource of information to draw upon, especially when writing a book. Halliday recommends a pen and paper system for his commonplace book. Number 6. J.K. Rowling could have called it quits after the Harry Potter series. She was already worth more money than the Queen of England, and her legacy as an author was secure. Instead, Rowling changed her name and published the crime book, Cuckoo's Calling, under the pen name Robert Galbraith. The media quickly discovered her secret, but her experience shows that really successful people push themselves towards new kinds of success. They are never complacent or self-satisfied.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. The listening section is now over. Please stop working on this section. Now go on to the next sections of the test.